Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Barbera, and in this episode, I want to talk about private money. Have you ever wondered how it is that you're going to go from not being able to do flips or not being able to do any real estate transactions because you have no money to being able to actually establish a business of flipping properties, acquiring rentals, doing more deals because money is no longer an issue, right? I mean, this is an issue so many investors have, and this is something that honestly holds a lot of people back. When they start in real estate, yes, you do need money to work in real estate. I mean, that's despite what every guru out there says, you need money to invest in real estate. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be your money. You can be resourceful and use other people's money, but you have to be careful. You understand? Because using money is a serious thing. You need to know what you're doing and you need to be a responsible person. And I'm going to share with you how we got started, like always, our experience, and how you too can get going on this and get to pretty much go from nothing to doing deals, borrowing money, and doing all this. Now, private money, to me, is an individual, a private individual, somebody that you know their name, you know who they are, and they're lending you a certain amount of money with certain terms for a project, right? That's my definition of private money. The reason I say that is because there's a lot of hard money lenders lately that call themselves private money lenders. To me, it's a marketing, you know, scam that they're trying to run to trick people into showing some interest so they can push their sales pitch on them. They're still a hard money lender. They're still, you know, crazy interest rates, crazy points, origination fees, fees for everything out there. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not against hard money lenders. They all have their place. It's just, to me, there's hard money and then there's private money. To me, this is private money. So that being said, just to clear it out there again, it's my definition. I know some of you are going to, you know, catch an attitude saying, oh, hard money is private money. Whatever. That's just my definition of private money. But let's get going. When we first started, like I told you guys before, we started doing a lead management company where we did a lot of wholesaling and stuff like that. Within our wholesaling, from day one, we wanted to build a business around this. This was never because of the money. And that is why John and I have made such great partners together and why we're still partners 3-4 years later. And it's because of that. We're not chasing the money. Our goals are very aligned. And when we started, we were both very clear that we weren't after the money. We were after building the business. So why am I telling you this? This is important because when you wholesale properties and your goal is to build a business, you are doing it with a different mindset. You're more conscious of how you're wholesaling these properties and who you're wholesaling these properties to, because you don't want them to lose money, have a bad taste in their mouth, and not build the relationships that can later lead to you being able to borrow money from these people. So as a wholesaler, the benefit that you have, if you do your job correctly, is that you are going to be dealing with investors that actually have the cash to buy these properties, right? Or they have access to the cash at a very low interest rate to buy these properties. So you already have access to these people. So if you go building these relationships, it's going to help you when it comes time to actually asking them for a loan instead of giving them a property. And that's precisely what we did. So we worked a couple years in wholesaling and we built a really good reputation and we made friends and we built a really great reputations with people that have money and access to money. So when it was time for us to actually take on a flip, another benefit that we did have is that I come from construction background. So my family had a construction company since I was a little kid. I started working there my summers throughout high school, dropped out of high school, kept working there for years. So I know a lot about construction, about renovating houses and all those things, right? I know what to look for. I have more of an understanding than most people out there when it comes time to actually doing the work. So that helped me out a lot. And then my business partner, John, he has the same kind of background. He worked a lot in single family. He's done a lot of large scale commercial. That's what he went to college for. So we had that as a benefit, right? But that is not all, because when we first got our first deal, we went to one of our buyers and we told him, hey, we have this deal. We want to flip it. We found it. We can manage the renovations. We can do everything. You put up the money, right? But because of all of our background and everything, we still had no experience in flipping properties. If you listen, and I'll probably link it below, why I say contractors are terrible investors is because a contractor doesn't know how to renovate a property to make money on it. They know how to renovate a property based on a scope of work or based on what needs to get done. But they don't, many contractors don't know what is required to make the most money. You understand? So that was an issue that I had. I would look at properties as a contractor. That's why I spent so much time wholesaling houses and asking my flippers and my buy and hold investors, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Why are you leaving this? Because it gave me an insight into the way an investor looks at a property. And this helps, but it's the same, like, you can read a book about basketball. It's not going to make you a great basketball player, right? You got to go out there and actually play basketball and practice and take shots and dribble the ball. You know, you got to work on your footwork. You got to work on it. Reading a book is not enough. So while I was doing all this, it was still kind of like reading a book. I still haven't done it myself. And every house is different. In the sense that every house has its own problems. Every house has little things here and there that you didn't encounter in the last house or in the last three houses. And it's a new problem. How are you going to address it? And all this comes with experience. And we didn't have that. So what we did is we went to this private money lender and we told him, hey, let's do this deal 50-50. All you have to do is put up the money. We'll handle everything else. We found the deal. We'll manage the renovations, we'll manage the sale, we'll do everything on the property. You don't have to do anything. And because of our credibility at the time, he believed us, and then he went ahead and he's like, all right, let's do it. Long story short, that project hired the wrong contractor. I mean, that's where we started kind of putting together that you got to have a very detailed scope of work. I mean, there was a lot of things that we went through the whole project with them and told them everything that we wanted to do. But it's always those things that contractors do. And I think they do it because they start running out of money or it starts taking too long. So they start hitting you with change orders. And those are the good ones. Like nice people, I mean. And then you have the other ones that are just douchebags that they'll go and give you a low quote just to get the job. And then they'll hit you with change orders just because they want to. That's another, I'll link to the other one, investor friendly contractors, such BS. But anyway, so this guy, he gave us a bid, gave us everything. And then like, I've told this story, I think before, where he did all the demo, ripped out all the trim, all the molding, everything. And then he comes back to me. He's like, oh, are you going to put molding back on? Like, yeah, you ripped it off. Oh, well, that wasn't part of the bid. Like, dude, you ripped it off. Like, what did you think we were going to do? You understand? So that's, you know, it happened. So we ended up getting rid of him towards the end of the project. And then with John and I had to go in there and kind of finish out this project. So this project was one of the first ones that we had to start buying tools again and get back in it. But that was our value to the project. So we got that deal done. Everybody made money. Wasn't a home run deal, especially when you split it 50-50, but we all made money. It went well. So bring another deal. And it took a while to get the second one, but we got another deal. And that one we proposed to him, hey, you saw that we can handle it. We all made money. You know, you trust us. How about we do like more of a loan? right? So he did a 12 and like 1 or 2 points, I believe it was. I can't recall right now, but it was 12% interest and 1 or 2 points. For those of you that don't know, the points are paid up front. So let's say you have a $100,000 loan and you have 2 points, you got to pay $2,000 when you originate the loan. So I don't like points because that's just money right out of your pocket, you know, from the get. But at the time, that still made a lot more sense than a 50-50 split. So we went ahead and did it, got that one done. Then we did another one and we did a 10-1, got that one done. And then we just started kind of like our name started getting out there that we were renovating houses. We were doing a good job. People were liking the work. They were liking how quickly we were getting their money back to them. They were liking they didn't have to worry about it. We were responsible. So we had more people approach us and they wanted to lend us money. So what we started doing is, and this is, to me, it's a lot of common sense, but, you know, sometimes common sense isn't so common. So they would come to us and tell us, hey, I would like to kind of get in on the next project. So at the time, we were doing 10-1. So we're like, hey, yeah, sure, but it needs to be just a straight 10% interest, right? We threw it out there. Like, we already have 10-1, you know, let's go for a better interest rate. And they're like, yeah, sure, that works. And then you go move on from there again. Next time you get more investors, you try again. How about 8-0, right? And you keep going to see kind of where you get that pushback. So we started doing that, and then we got our money lenders that way. We got some great money lenders right now at 10%, some great money lenders at 8%. But what's important here is, again, you got to focus on the business and not just making money. If your focus is a business, if your focus is that you just want to be a flipper, then whatever, just make whatever money you can. And, you know, eventually it's going to dry out. But if you want to build a business, you got to build reputation and you got to build credibility and you got to build relationships. So what we started doing is we are very strategic with whose money we use on the next deal. Right? Because we want to make sure that we're using the person that we want to take care of the most and build a better relationship with. And usually this person is somebody that maybe has access to a lot more funds, has access to a lot of friends that have more funds. So we take all those things into consideration because it's for future business. Now, even though we can get lower interest rates with other lenders, they're kind of a one-off. They don't have that much money available. So this is where I keep going back to the business side of it, is if we were just looking at numbers, we would go with the 8% person every time. But the problem is that it's not building a relationship with the right person because this individual only has a certain amount of money to deploy. So we usually tap it out very quickly. And then what do? They don't have other friends with a lot of money. They don't have other access to funds. So we kind of get a little, you know, we run out of money. And if we've been pushing all the other investors away, it's going to make it harder to get to them to lend to us again. Because like every investor, their main goal is, or at least should be, to keep their money constantly deployed. You understand? They don't want their money sitting in a bank account. So, and the bank account doesn't make any interest. Deployed, it makes them 10%. So that's where we want to come in and kind of say, okay, yes, this person is at 8, it's more attractive. But on this deal, we have a little more meat on the bone. Let's go with the 10% guy so we can keep building that relationship with them. You understand? Because we know markets are cyclical, right? When the markets are really bad, private money lenders are worth a lot of money because cash is hard to get. And when markets are really good like they are right now, private money lenders are so easy to find. Everybody's a private money lender right now. Everybody has some amount of money that they can lend. So what we are planning for is when the market turns again. We know we're in a hot market. We know finding money isn't an issue right now. But we also know that when the market turns, it will become an issue. Because all the people that don't have the deep pockets or all that capital, when the market turns, that's when everybody starts holding on to their money and they get scared, right? Which is so counterintuitive, because what you need to be doing is when the market crashes, that's when you need to be buying. Everything goes on sale. It's like a superstore that's going on sale and you don't want to go shopping. You understand? You're like, oh no, it's on sale. Something must be wrong. Let me hold on to my money. It's on sale. Go shopping. That's what you should do in a bad market. But when you don't have that much capital, and let's say 100 grand or 200 grand is all you have, it gets scary, right? So then those people kind of fade out and they don't lend anymore. They want to keep their cash because they're scared. They don't know what they're doing. But the people that have deep pockets, they're the ones deploying their money still, because now they're getting to invest a huge discount. And again, because money is so important on a down market, they are actually worth more. So maybe at that point, we might have to start paying points and higher interest again, because these people, you know, they can demand it. And I'm also guessing at that point, we can fight a little more because we will be one of the few people that can actually keep deals going. So again, it's the business mindset. Or you can just be a flipper and just worry about the money. And when the market turns, you're obviously not going to be flipping anymore. So hopefully you made enough money to hold yourself over. But definitely, you know, look at it as a business and make sure that when you're borrowing money, you're keeping that in mind, right? So how can you do it without any experience? So again, a lot of people, they tell me, well, yeah, you had experience in construction. Of course, people wanted to partner with you. That's fine. And that's probably really true. But there's still a way that you can do it. And the way that you can do it is by leveraging somebody else's credibility, somebody else's experience, somebody else's resources, and somebody else's money. How do you do this? Become really, really good at finding great deals. And when you find these great deals, again, you have to be of a mindset of building a business and not just making money. If you want to just make money, I think having a job is an easier way of doing it. Real estate is very stressful. There are a lot of months you're not going to get paid, and that's just the business. But if you want to build the business, it makes it more enjoyable through the process as you go growing. So that being said, if you're focused on building the business, then you should be looking for people that are going to help you take that business to the next level. So if you're a wholesaler, or if you can find some decent deals, bring it to people like myself. I mean, huge plug. Hey, we're looking for deals and partnerships. But bring it to people, investors that flip properties and that have the means. Because you bring it to us, as an example, we're partnering with another person right now. They're wholesalers, great wholesaler. Love this kid. He brings us a deal, right? So we go ahead, we partner with him, and we're going to show him everything. How we manage our contractors, how we manage our spreadsheets, how we manage everything. You know, how we look at the scope of work, source our materials, manage the guys throughout the project, how we look at a project, what we're going to do, and, you know, how we're going to sell the project, how we market the project, everything. We'll teach them everything about it. So one deal obviously is not enough. But on this one deal, he's not only making money, but he's also going to get a huge lesson in flipping houses that there's just no program in the world you're going to be able to buy to give you real world examples. You understand? Shit that happens play by play. So this deal is going to be a notch under his belt. And he can leverage our name when he decides to go on his own. He can say, yes, I flipped 2, 3, 4 deals with Prime Homes. And because we have the credibility and we can back it, people are going to be like, oh, okay. You know, he must know what he's doing. At least that gives you a little more credibility and a little more ability to be able to borrow money on your own. Now, you still might have to do a 50-50 deal with a private money lender. You might still have to pay high interest in some points on your first couple deals, but you're going to be able to go in there with a little more credibility. You're going to be able to get that yes a lot easier than if you were just a wholesaler and trying to borrow money. You understand? Because then what ends up happening, especially if it's your first flip and you never flipped a house before, which usually means why it's your first flip. But if it's, you know, you never flipped a house before, you underestimate how long and how much work it's going to take, and you overestimate how much money you're going to make. And this becomes an issue because then if you tell your moneylender that it's going to take 4 months, right? Because it should take 4 months, but it took you 6, 7, maybe 8 months, your moneylender is not going to be too happy. They're not going to be too excited next time you ask them for money again. Even though you paid them back, no problems. But you're saying, but their money was constantly deployed. Yes, but you told them four and it took you 2-3 extra months. To them, it kind of worries them. You understand? To a money lender, they're probably like, all right, you were off on this. Why? You know, maybe you just really don't know what the hell you're doing. And that very well may be the case. And that's fine. But the problem is that it's going to make it harder for your next deal to get funded again. You understand? And you might not even be able to drop any points or any percentage because they're like, yeah, I'm still not too comfortable with you. And it is their money. It is their risk. So they got to be careful with that. You understand? So leveraging somebody else, especially for this kid, he does a couple, 3-4 flips with us. He's going to know. He's going to be able to go and speak to a private money lender and say, hey, here's how I run my systems because I work with them. This is how you put the scopes of work together, how I manage the guys, well, I source my materials. You start speaking like somebody that knows what the hell they're doing. Does that make sense? And that makes you a lot more valuable. And that's one added benefit that we do is that the way we look at it, we love teaching. You understand? And again, same thing. We're not in it for the money. We're in it for the business. We're looking to build the business around this. So we love teaching. And what we do with our partners is we handle the first couple deals 100% ourselves. But then we start, hey, go buy this material. Hey, go pay this guy. Hey, go do this. Because we want you to learn. You understand? Because then you go learning. And then you go picking it up. And you go putting in the time and the work with our supervision. So you're going to learn a lot quicker that way. Does that make sense? So look for people like that in your neighborhood, in your city, wherever you're flipping. Look for people. They do exist. We're not the only ones that do it in San Antonio. We're not the only ones that do it in the U.S. There's a lot of investors that do the same thing we do. You understand? Look for these people and tell them, hey, if I bring you a deal, will you show me how you handle it? Will you show me how to take it from A to Z and make money on it? And make sure you bring it to somebody that knows what they're doing and not just somebody that's willing to pay you the most for that deal. All right? Make sure it's somebody that actually knows how to flip, that can actually teach you how to do this correctly. So by leveraging their experience, leveraging also, they'll bring the money at the time. You know, and maybe the next time around you say, hey, can we use this guy I've been wanting to use, you know, and leverage our credibility because you're partnering with us. So you go to them and you a private money lender that you want to work with and you tell them, hey, I'm working with, you know, this company. Here's all their credibility. They know what they're doing, everything. You can meet with them. We're going to flip a property and then we'll go in and negotiate the terms for you. And what that does is it sets a nice foundation for when you want to do this yourself. Does that make sense? So definitely, and yes, you do run the risk that the investors that you're working with might poach your private money lender. It's the business we're in. We know, you know, our money lenders are not secret. People can find them, can have access to them, and it's just a part of the business. What you got to hope is that you deliver enough value and they like you more where they're willing to wait for you. And that's what we've established in our business is that we have private money lenders that they can go elsewhere, but they won't. They'll stay with us. So another way to negotiate lower interest and lower points and everything is kind of how I try to tell people is that. So a conversation I had with this person is that they wanted 12% interest and 1 point. And I told them 10%, no points. They're like, no. I was like, look. If you give it to me at 10% and no points, I can keep your money deployed consistently. That means all year round, you average out 10% in the year on your money, right? You can go ahead and lend it to somebody with less experience for 12% and 1 point. But they'll borrow it for maybe 4, 5, 6 months, and then they won't be able to borrow it again for another 4, 5, 6 months. because not everybody can turn deals quickly. And especially if you're going with somebody that's willing to take, let's say, I'm using these numbers as numbers, right? Like just to use numbers. These numbers may vary drastically from wherever you are listening. But if, let's say, the standard in your city is 10%, no points, and you are looking to do 12% and 1 point, you're most likely going to be getting people that are not very experienced. So this is the stuff we tell them because it's true. You know, it's, it has the added bonus of being true. So you lend to somebody that doesn't have as much as experience, they're not going to have 4 or 5 flips available at all times. They're not going to be able to keep your money constantly deployed. So your 12% went down to less than 8 or 7% with a higher risk throughout that year. That person could have ran out of money, could have completely underbid that project, could have completely underestimated how long it was going to take to sell. We are working on a deal like that right now. We are trying to help somebody mitigate the loss that they're going to take on this property because they're still taking a loss because they lent to the wrong person. They lent to the wrong investor. That investor didn't know what the hell they were doing. And they had way too much house at the end of the money. And that house was in a very bad neighborhood, which meant that they weren't going to make the money that they were thinking they were going to make on it. And that happens way too often. You understand? So that's that line, you know, rewind, listen to it again and use it because it helps because it's true. So once we tell them that and once we show them that we do not use them, right? Because it's like, obviously we don't kill the relationship because there's been times that we've have a couple million deployed and it's like, shit, we have another deal and it's a great deal and we need to take advantage and they are the only ones that still have money available, right? So it's like, oh, fine. At that point, you have the leverage over me. You know, I'll pay your 12 and 1. But when I have more money available to me than I need at the moment, you have no leverage. I'm always going to go with the lowest interest rate and the deal that makes the most sense for me. So explaining that to them is going to help you. Now, contracts. What contracts to use? You got to make sure you have, completely went blank on that. A promissory note and a deed of trust. All right. So we had an investor that he came recommended and he trusts us. You know, the other investor talked very highly of us, which was awesome. And he approaches us. He says, hey, I want to work with you guys. And we had a property at the time that we needed money for the renovation. We're like, yeah, you know, you'll be in a second lien position for 60 grand and 10% interest only. And he's like, okay, cool. Here's a check. I'm like, no. we got to draft up, you know, the promissory note, the deed of trust, make sure everything is getting done correctly. All the contracts, everything is being, you know, done correctly. And he's like, no, I trust you. I'm like, that's awesome. But we still want it to be done correctly. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, it's not a big deal. We can probably do that moving forward. I'm like, no. Like, I appreciate it. And you're a part of the deal. We're going to get it done. But it's going to get done correctly. The reason for this is that you need to protect your investors for their sake and for yours. You don't want to be coming off as this investor that's taking advantage of other people. Because that's exactly what's happening. You understand? Don't do that. There's a right way of doing this. Title companies can help you with this, or if you're in a different state that you use real estate attorney, they can help you drafting up the right contracts. Don't go ahead and mess around and do shit that you shouldn't be doing. You understand? Make sure they're in a second lien position on the home. Make sure that, you know, they have a promissory note. Make sure that everything is written up, done through title, done through all the proper means, that all the proper documentation is there. Because this shows your professionalism and it gives them the peace of mind that you know what the hell you're doing. Because I've also come across investors that have told me, well, hopefully I get my money back from this deal. And I'm like, what do you mean hopefully? Don't you have a promissory note? And they're like, no, nothing. I just wrote them a check. It's like, ouch. Right? Because at that point, take them to court maybe if they end up losing your money. I mean, I don't know what kind of argument you're going to have for this. You gave them money. They used it. There were no terms, no anything to show that, you know, they were supposed to give you your money back. I mean, again, this is for your benefit and theirs. So make sure to be honest and keep it going and to keep the relationships going and do things the right way. So that's pretty much everything I have for you on this one. That's how, again, how we started with private money lending, borrowing money, I mean, how we started borrowing private money and everything, and what took us to where we are now, that now we're actually doing, based on these relationships, because of these relationships, there's the other episode I'll link below is the last rental that we picked up. That was a BRRRR strategy. That one, again, came from the relationships that we built. So we're partnering with people now on picking up rentals. So definitely it helps. It works, especially if you're trying to build a business. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you have any questions, any thoughts, anything, I've actually compiled next episode that I'm going to do, if I remember to do it next time. I was supposed to do it this time and I just wanted to talk about this. But I'm going to put an episode together with all the questions that have been sent in. And then just answer all of your questions. It's been about past projects, past deals, past everything. So I've already answered them to the people, but I'm going to put a podcast together so you guys know what were the questions and what the answers were. If you have any questions or anything, email me, john@primehomes.com, or find me on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and just send me a private message or whatever you want, and I'll make sure to answer those questions. So thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. And I will catch you guys on the next one.